Good evening and welcome to the very first V2 Football Podcast. My name's Paul Hampton, I'm your host, and I'm joined by two fountains of knowledge of the V2 Forum, Chris Lappin and Rich Hudson. How are you, chaps?
Hello.
Good, cheers. Are you well?
I'm not too bad, thanks. So tonight we've got a packed show for you. Obviously we've had a fantastic Barclays Premier League season just gone past. And we're going to start tonight by having a look at the team of the year. It's caused a bit of discussion on the forum. So, Chris, if we have a look at your team first, who have you got in goal?
I went for Joe Hart in goal.
So you've got Hart in goal.
Yeah.
And in defence?
I went for Zabaleta, Vertonghen, Ivanovic and Baines.
So Vertonghen, Ivanovic and Baines at the back. I think Baines will probably be quite a unanimous choice by the time we've all read the teams out.
I think everybody's...
I don't think anybody could argue with Baines.
No. He's a given, isn't he? He's first name on the sheet, I think, in this team. Who have you got in midfield?
Centre mid. I'm for Michu and Fellaini, but Michu's our centre midfield.
It's an interesting one, that, because he's played more of the front man for Swansea, but in Spain he was more of a in the hole, wasn't he? A bit of the Gerrard role, maybe. It's interesting because you're getting bombing on from midfield as well with it.
Yeah.
And on the wing, who have we got there?
I went for Bale. Probably everyone's gone for Bale, I think. I went for Mata on the right.
Yeah, obviously you add some creativity to the side. And then up front,
I went for Benteke and Van Persie. Benteke's had a brilliant season. Put him ahead of Suarez put him out the head.
Yeah, I know it's been talked about on the forum that quite a lot, hasn't it? The biting incident was. Doesn't matter what you do, that's good. If you do something as stupid and reckless as that, then everybody forgets the good stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
I'd also agree with the Benteke inclusion. He's 22 years old. He's come to a new country, and he's dominated some of the best centre
backs. Struggling side, scoring over 20 goals.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if there are big money moves on offer for him. I think Atletico Madrid are offering nearly 20 million for him. Apparently,
it's been today. It's Arsenal, Spurs, and Atletico.
I can't see how Atletico have actually got any money though. Like, I know they're just. Bout count for 50 billion or whatever it was. But they're meant to be something like 500 million in debt.
But what's interesting, in my opinion, with Atletico is the FIFA fair play rules. We'll probably discuss this maybe a little bit later on, but a team that's, like you say, 500 million in debt, supposedly, they're not going to be able to splash 20 million. And Atletico, they are one of the bigger clubs in Spain when you look at the teams that are there.
Yeah, third,
every single club in Spain is virtually riddled with debt now.
Yeah.
Like Malaga, obviously, aren't going to be in Europe next season due to it. But they're just the tip of the iceberg. Even the big two are that far in debt. But there's sort of a more of a sustainable debt that they can manage. But the rest of them, they're absolutely screwed over at the moment.
And I think if it was an English club in that position, Platini, Blatter, they'd be stepping in and saying, right, no European football for you guys, but Spanish, French clubs, and probably German, we'll get away with it, in my opinion, certainly for a lot longer.
Yeah.
French, can you see them clamping down on Monaco and PSG in the next few years with the money they're spending?
It wouldn't surprise me if those two have got shares in both of those clubs, but that's a different matter altogether. Matter on the wing's an interesting choice. No room for Hazard in the team, Chris.
No, it was a toss up between the two of them, and I like Matter. I think he's just had a brilliant season. Matter. I know Hazard's had a brilliant season, but I prefer Matter as a player.
I think that last season, because you had Silva and Matter both making their first seasons in the Premier League, I think Matter was maybe outshone by Silva. And a lot of his work maybe went under the radar, whereas this season, Mata in a team with quite a lot of creativity, came into his own.
Yeah, he's looking fast, isn't he?
And he was going to have to create a million and one chances for Torres to score, so he had to do something this season, didn't he?
I was between Meacher and Cazorla for me.
Cazorla's looking very good. I always liked him when he was over in Spain playing for Malaga. And he's sort of coming more into a central role when he was a bit more on the right, I think, in Spain. Yeah, he's a class player. It's just a well of depth, though, isn't it, for Spain? It's like the options that they have going forward, attacking-wise.
Just the centre, attacking midfield, just the central attack midfield.
On the attacking midfield options for Spain, and it's still better than what England got as the first choice.
It's worrying, I'll be honest, because obviously we're meant to be breeding these youngsters to come through and play good football. Yeah, I reckon if you go down the park on a Saturday and Sunday and watch maybe a seven-a-side game, if your son's playing or a family member, then they just play long ball football even in seven-a-side.
It's still going for the wins, isn't it? It's all about winning still.
I have first-hand experience of that. The culture in this country towards kids playing football is still very much 20 years behind the rest of Europe.
I think one's going to get into football maybe next season.
So if we move back down the field, the defence, you've got Sabaleta, Vertonghen, Ivanovic and Baines. I think Baines was a shoo-in. He got 80% of the vote, I think, on the forum.
He got 84% of the vote.
Yeah. And then was it Ben Davis, I think you said, was second as well, the young lad from Swansea. Ivanovic is an interesting choice for me, because I think that he can be quite... I don't know, he switches off in games, in my opinion.
I think he had a really strong end to the season, which probably tipped him.
Was it Ivanovic scored the goal in the final?
He scored quite a few goals towards the end of the season, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
The season before,
when he got told he wasn't going to be playing in the final.
Yes, God. I think if you could get a video and put it up on any internet forum, or just post it on Twitter or show your mates, that would be the video you'd show them. Just to get a laugh. If you're in the pub and, they did need that guy to go out and tell him that he'd actually won the final, I think, this year, just to sort of make it even.
Yeah.
Why did you go for Hart in the net, by the way?
I just think he's a very good keeper, and I think he's had a very good season. I can't just think of many mistakes he's made.
I just don't think he's been as solid as he was the season before. I don't think it was a poor season, but it wasn't up, reaching the peaks that he did beforehand.
I don't think there's been an absolute standout keeper this season. I think there's been a lot of the keepers have had very good seasons, but there hasn't been a standout.
See, I'd say with Hart, he's still very inexperienced, and I think last season he was protected a lot more by company. Whereas this year, company wasn't as good as he was. And it meant that a lot more got through to Hart, so maybe that's why he looked.
Yeah, company had a dip in form, hasn't he, this year? I suppose bringing in the new sort of centre-back partner with him. He's got a few gaps at times. Yeah.
There was the goal, I think it was in the Champions League final before Christmas, and company was stood in front of Joe Hart and ducked out the way. And I thought that just sort of set the mood really for company season, because after it took him a while to really start playing with a bit more confidence.
He had the injury right at the beginning of the season, which seems to take him forever to get over.
Hart's going to be a great keeper, isn't he? He's still only young.
Is he even 25 yet?
I don't think he is. I think he's 23,
24. Yeah, I think around that age. I've gone for De Gea in net.
So, do you have many disagree? You've got De Gea in goal?
Yeah, I went for De Gea. For my second choice was a bit left field choice. I went for Guzan of Villa, and sort of like like Benteke up front scoring a lot of goals, I think at the back they would have conceded a lot more if it wasn't for him in there.
He's had a really good season.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with Guzan because he had such a young defence in front of him as well. He was always going to be under pressure. And he's replacing, you know, he's had Friedel in front of him, and I think Shea Given was there for a period of time. So he's had a tough run behind those two guys.
Zabaleta, I think most people would go for as right back, but I think, again, with my United bias, Raphael. this season. Like, from being such a liability in the two seasons before, where you think, like, oh, where's that right back gone? Oh, he's still two thirds of the way up.
Where the right winger should be.
Well, I think there's a good, like, the new Chelsea lad who's got a surname that's worth about 200 points on Scrabble.
Begins with an A.
If anybody can spell it or pronounce it, if they can record it and then send it to football@v2journal.com, and we'll just have it as a soundbite, that'd be great.
Just noting for Cesar, but he's looking at a decent right back prospect. But yeah, Zabaleta I've got down as right back choice. Centre backs, we've gone for Vertonghen as one of them, but I couldn't really decide on the other. I think Rio's been strong again as centre back.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be out on his way out, but then he's coming back with a brilliant season this season.
Very much. I thought Nastasic, or however you pronounce that, the new lad at City, looked very promising.
Yeah.
But he went for Kachelny.
Okay. That's another left wing choice.
I don't
rate him at all. He's too.
I just thought he had a really good season this year.
I think Kachelny needs somebody who's a bit more consistent alongside him.
Definitely. Like Vermaelen looked the best centre back for a while for Arsenal, and he's dropped off the radar. Really, he's had a very poor season, but I think Kachelny's been the one that's stepped up and taken that role.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and I think when Mertesacker plays alongside Kachelny, I think he looks a different player. I think he looks nervous. Whereas if that partnership of Vermaelen and Kachelny, I think they actually complement each other quite nice. Whether Wenger will want to bring in a new centre back to replace one of them, I don't know. But
yeah, I think Kachelny will stay there.
Isn't he rumoured to go to Bayern Munich once, Kachelny? Something I've read.
Possibly. Was it a couple of years ago?
It's in there, though, with the amount of centre-back, well, the amount of players they've got at Munich at the moment.
I don't think you get a game there now. I think the rumour was maybe from a season or two ago.
I'm sure I read it the other day.
Really?
I'm sure I put it on there.
I haven't seen it.
I think it's tough up on virtually anybody, though, aren't they, Bayern Munich at the moment? They're just looking the best side in the world. Carrick have gone for in the defensive midfielder role. I think he's been his best season at United this year.
Yeah.
From being that player that everybody sort of thinks is just always passing sideways or back, he's really sort of stamped his authority on the team this year. And
he's gone back to how he used to play at Spurs. I think he's kind of got in with a lot of the long forward passes rather than just looking for the shortest pass around him like he used to.
He just nudges out Dembele for me. Things had a good
season.
Yeah, so I think with Carrick, he's. I think with the United team, you could probably put anybody in that position who can pass the ball. You know, doesn't have to be international class, and they'd look quite good. Carrick has had a good season, obviously. But I wonder if the Scholes coming out of retirement last year was maybe just the kick up the backside he needed.
My other centre midfield guy, though, is going to be another one that I don't think has had a single mention on the forum, is Schneiderlin of Southampton.
Yeah.
I think it's been an absolute bargain for him, and I think he finished the season with the most interceptions in the league.
Yeah, I think so. most tackles as well, I think. Most completed tackles.
I think he's going to be a player that's going to get a decent move in the hopefully this summer, and could do a job for a much bigger club.
Do you think he could go down the Joe Allen route? Looks very good in a lower team, like Allen did in Swansea, well, moves to somebody like Liverpool, who...
He could do. He could go down the Gareth Bale route from Southampton.
Another Southampton player I like is Liana. I think he's a very good player. So, he hasn't had a great season, but I think he'll be very good in the future.
Southampton have got, they've got quite a good setup of a team. And if they can, because there's lots of rumours linking their manager with different roles, if they can keep the manager, they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think he's just edging out Gerrard for me in the midfield. I think Gerrard's had a very good season for Liverpool this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Then going forwards, Matha has to be in there. Just ahead of Zola, who I think's had a good season at Arsenal. I have put Suarez in there, despite the biting, despite me being a United fan. But he's one of those players that, if he was on your side, you'd want him on your side.
I think that's the argument with a lot of fans, isn't it? If he doesn't play for your team, it's easy to slag him off. I think with Suarez, I was talking to a Chelsea fan about Suarez a couple of days ago, and whenever Suarez is name mentioned, he brings up the biting or the racism. And I always say to him, "Well, John Terry was found guilty of the same thing," and he'll defend John Terry to the hills. You know, you could argue with me all day about it. I think with Suarez, it's the same situation. If he's, like you say, if he's on your team, if he plays for your side, you love him. If he doesn't play for your side, then he's the devil.
Yeah. But you sort of look back to, like, Cantona at United. Yeah. Like, some of the things that he got away with, like the jumping into the crowd against Crystal Palace.
He got sent down for 9 months for that.
Yeah, the karate kick, yeah.
And, you know, he attacked people back in France as well before that. Mm. But, you know, as a United fan, he was God.
Yeah.
He also,
we still see it for him now.
Yeah.
And I don't think Suarez is going to go down that route because he's trying to orchestrate a move away from the club.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think most clubs in the world would want Suarez in their team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Do you think he is trying to, or is he just doing a Rooney and trying to get some more money? Say you're unhappy, get a new contract.
As a Liverpool fan, if he wants to, so as a Liverpool fan, if he wants to play the games that Rooney played with United, I'd show him the door. He only signed a new contract, was it last season?
Yeah.
I'm sure he got a bumper pay rise then. I mean, if he comes out with the excuses that I want a pay rise because the press is slagging me off, well, if the press is slagging you off, stop biting defenders, and then they won't slag you off. If I was Rodgers, I'd show him the door.
That's it. It's like the press, like just a week beforehand, were lauding him as challenging Bale and Van Persie for Player of the Year.
Well, that's it. I mean, I watched Sky Sports News in the morning before work, and they were saying that Suarez would have won, you know, the PFA Player of the Year. He would probably would, had he not bitten Ivanovic. He had that good a season that there was a massive chance of him winning it. He blew it himself. The press aren't overly critical of him.
Yeah, on his day, he is his worst enemy, without a doubt. But, if he said tomorrow in the paper that United were going to offer £30 million for him, and I'd say, welcome to Old Trafford.
Welcome to Old Trafford.
Let me go and buy you a bus ticket.
He's been on the bench at United.
Bale on the left-hand side and Van Persie up front, and that's pretty much my team.
Everybody's put Bale on the left, but I don't remember him playing on the left very much.
No, he plays behind the striker now, doesn't he?
He plays behind the striker.
Yeah.
Well, the other option was Hazard, who another sort of player that's come in and had an excellent season. But it's just sort of the formation-wise, to stick them all together and put Bale back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Had a very good season for Villa. I think Lukaku isn't far behind either.
Yeah, well, yeah, very good season.
Chelsea next season and shows he can do it at a bigger club. That's what.
Yeah,
he had. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, I remember the first game of the season last year and the penalty for that Daniel Agger got sent off for. And at the time, I didn't think it was a sending off. I was watching it live. And when I saw the replays, I didn't realise how strong he was. He's a very big boy. He'll do all right at Chelsea. He'll partner Denver Bar quite well.
Yeah, I think he'll be very good. Oh, another one that sort of on the right side that I forgot about was Morales, Everton.
Yeah, the really good end to the season. It's got quite a few goals.
Didn't
anybody
think
else think he looks fairly tall to be a right wing?
That's pretty much my team.
Well, I've gone for Lloris in goal. I think he had a good season. He started behind Friedel and managed to
Get Friedel out of the way.
Yeah.
He must be a goalkeeper.
Zabaleta at right back. I think that's a universal choice near enough. Rafael, obviously, is a close second. I've gone for Rio and Luis at centre-back. I think Ferdinand had probably his best season for a couple of years. And David Luiz has improved quite a lot, to be fair. Looks a bit like Sideshow Bob, but...
It's just that liability that he can be at times.
Yeah.
He's a centre-back that should be a defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, do you reckon Jose will keep carry on there? Rafa experiments and put him in centre midfield.
Well, I keep hearing rumours that he's going to Barca for 30 million.
I've heard that as well.
I keep hearing that as well.
For a team that's desperately needing a centre back, you buy the one centre back that's not a centre back. That makes sense.
Well, they were playing there, Mascherano at centre back,
weren't they?
So.
Yeah.
I think all their centre backs like to run forward with the ball, don't they? PK and Puyol seem to dribble out 100 yards every couple of minutes. They don't seem to stand.
Really,
just
really doing too much speed anymore, though, does it?
No.
I don't think Barcelona is the greatest defence in the world to carry on winning the Spanish league.
Yeah, when your defence is usually halfway into the opponent's half anyway, yeah, I suppose it doesn't really matter.
You got Baines at left back. There's just no doubt in that. He's
no doubt from
pushing Ashley Cole for that left box spot now, in my opinion. And if he does get the move to United and he does perform, you know, as well as he has, if not better, I don't see why he can't. He'll be on the plane to Brazil either way, I think.
He's definitely going to Brazil. Will he start?
In case wise, he should be a United player.
Sorry, what was that?
Age wise, because he's not the youngest.
He's 28, isn't he?
28,
yeah.
And he's sort of going against what has been sort of the United policy, you know, sort of Van Persie broke that rule.
I think that's it. Van Persie broke the rule, and I think David Moyes is going to want to probably take Baines and Fellaini with him. I think they're the two players from Everton you'd want to take with you to United. And
yeah, there's rumours of Barkley as well.
Yeah.
Take
Ross Barkley's a very good talent. I've got a friend who's a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I think he was on their loan for a bit this year.
Yeah,
he was impressed with him. Yeah. Midfield, I've got Cazorla and Mata. Just had a bit of creativity. I think they both had really good seasons, Cazorla especially.
Yeah, I really rate Cazorla. I've never heard of him before this season.
Again, it's that Spanish thing, isn't it? They're both short players who technically are fantastic, and they won't get a game for Spain because you've got Xavi, Iniesta, Fabregas all in front of them at the minute.
You'll meet you even further back.
Yeah. I think you look at the keepers, Reina a couple of years ago was probably one of the top keepers in the Premier League, and you had Casillas and Valdez in front of him.
Yeah. I don't rate Valdez, though. I don't think he's an awful keeper.
He's going to
the Spanish team.
Monaco, is it?
That's the rumour. Everybody's going to the...
I think if they offered me a paycheck as big as some of the players are getting just to go and clean the bogs, I'd go and clean the bogs for them. So,
John Terry got offered £150,000 a week, tax free.
I think they're starting to get together a decent looking side, though. Look at the ones that they've been buying. There's sort of an old Porto
duo, wasn't it? Seems to be buying the Porto team that won the Champions League a couple of years ago.
You've got Hazard and Bale on the wings. both of those had really good seasons, Bale especially. I think more, maybe not necessarily on the wings for me, but maybe two of them behind the strikers, quite a narrow formation. And then you got Benteke and Van Persie up front. Suarez doesn't get in because of the biting incident.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do that, he's in the team without a doubt. But like I said before, if you bite somebody, you forget about all the good stuff they do.
That's it. If that was in another line of work, what he's done, he'd never work in that again.
No.
If I bit somebody in my office tomorrow, that's
We
just have to go see someone as well.
We said before that we had the V2 team of the year. And I think one of the lads was doing a poll on it. Just to, you know,
yeah,
sort of get
an
idea.
M of the sea.
M to the sea, yeah. Was doing a poll on it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I think you got the poll together today, Chris, didn't you? From what I can see on the forum. Have you got the results there?
I do, yeah. In goal, with 32%, we got David De Gea. Second place was Hugo Lloris, with 14%.
So it was quite spread on the keeper then. It was quite a spread field then on the keeper, to only have 32%.
I think the keepers had quite a lot of people who were close.
It's quite, yeah.
You had Lloris, De Gea, Mignolet was getting quite a fair few votes as well.
There's the Stoke one as well, he's had a good season.
Yeah, Begovic had a very good season.
Begovic, defence, we had Zabaleta with 69%. Vertonghen got 32% and Rio got 19%. And Bayern's got 84%.
It's interesting just there that Ben Davis is the second left back, because he replaced Neil Taylor, who broke his ankle earlier in the season. I don't know if you remember the fall he had, where he just landed on his ankle. Looked quite innocuous, and it'll be interesting to see if Davis keeps Taylor out of the team once he's fit again.
He seemed like a good little player. Yeah.
So. If we've got midfield?
Hazard on the right, Mata, Carrick, and then Bale on the left.
And then up front.
And then Suarez and Van Persie up front.
It's a pretty solid side, isn't it, really?
It'd be challenging for the league most seasons, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Suarez only just got in, but he got 23%. But Benteke only got 21%. Fiddle's only one vote in it. Check now.
We had a couple of forum members send us their teams as well. Emailed it over. We had Crimey, who has got Mignolet in goal, Zabaleta, Natasic, Vertonghen and Baines, Gerrard and Cazola, Lennon, Mata, Bale and Suarez. So he's left Van Persie out. I think that's a bit of Liverpool bias.
Just need support again. One thing I wanted to mention on that, though, is Aaron Lennon being included. I think he has actually had a very good season. It was a good shout there.
Yeah, I
completely agree.
You haven't heard much about him this year, but he has actually done all right.
I think
he's one of them players that you only really sort of hear about when he's having a bad time for some reason. Because he's sort of an English winger that everybody just sort of thinks gets his head down and never sort of puts in a decent cross. But I think he's had a good season.
There was one team that stood out to me. It got emailed to the new football@v2journal.com account from Ollie, or is it Six Finger Tractor Boy he's called now?
Yes.
I think he lost a bet. Just in case any listeners who aren't on the forum take offence, he lost the bet. He went with Mignolet in goal, Zabaleta, Vertonghen, Bessong, Leighton Baines.
He's an Norwich fan.
Oh, he's a Norwich fan. Carrick, Mata, Bale, Snodgrass, Suarez and Van Persie. So he obviously thinks Snodgrass had a good season. I know he put on the forum earlier he thought that as well. I don't quite think he gets into the team of the year, but Ollie lives in a little dream world, I think.
They both had decent seasons, actually, the two Norwich players that he included. But they're not in there, really, ahead of the guys that have made it in most other people's teams.
So that's the teams of the year done. We've mentioned Suarez quite a few times there, guys. So the big question is, obviously, Chris mentioned earlier about him moving away from Liverpool. If he does move away from Liverpool, how big of a blow is it? I mean, does it really affect them? Is a world-class striker going to want to come and not play European football?
Did you want to go, sorry? You go first.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll make much of a difference if he goes, because I'd put Liverpool as a fifth or sixth place team, and I still think they'll finish fifth or sixth, seventh without him. And I think if you get Sturridge scoring a few goals, it'd only be good for England.
Yeah.
Him playing up front.
Yeah. I mean, I like Sturridge. I was happy when we signed him.
It's good for Sturridge, certainly, and we need another England guy that can put goals in at the moment, because we've sort of got a dearth of upfront talent. I think it'd be a huge loss to Liverpool.
I mean, I'd agree with that. I think, he scored so many goals this year, and he scores goals that you don't think are possible to score. He'll take six players on in the box in about 3 yards, and there's just little glimpses of brilliance that, you know, you don't see from many players in the Premier League. But he isn't a clinical striker. He misses his fair share of chances. I think, did he hit the post over 20 times last season or something ridiculous?
That's always the Liverpool way, wasn't it, though? It was like the season before they hit the post more than any other team.
I think every time I went to the pub, it was 0-0 when I watched the Liverpool match.
You need to start watching us in the pub, then. We'll win more games. That's hell of
what you mentioned there about him being able to sort of take on so many players within I don't think there's many players that have got such a decent, close control of the ball as him.
No. If
I think that's something the English game can learn a lot of, is the close ball control that he has.
I think it's the way they're taught, isn't it? I mean, a lot of the Spanish youth academies and South American ones, they learn with the ball on the floor. They use either a heavier ball or a smaller ball, and they, you know, you have to pass and move. There's no this, well, let's lump it up the field and chase it. They'll lump it back or chase it back, and it teaches you to play like that. Whereas, you know,
very much. One of the things that my son's 7 years old, and he's currently on getting a few trials with Everton at the moment. But the coach that he has, as soon as he gets there on an evening, he's given a ball. And like for the hour, he has the ball at his feet, and he's learning skills with it all the time. And there's so many coaches in the English game now that they don't give the kids a ball. They stand in a line for like 15 minutes to take a penalty, one after another. And they probably touch the ball a quarter of the amount of time as my son does. Sure. And so what is it teaching them at that level? They should all be sort of like just learning how to control the ball with different parts of the field.
They should be playing 5-a-side, 7-a-side, at least also that level, don't they?
The best way you can learn to play, sort of, they call it tick-attacker football, don't they? It's indoor football, 5-a-side football. Little red line on the wall, the ball can't go above this high. You know, no stupid goalie's going to have a shot from his area.
That's what we used to play, you couldn't shoot from your own half. Yeah. Can't go above head height.
So,
that's how we used to do in school.
Up as a goalpost.
If Suarez does go, say Rodgers comes in tomorrow morning, shows him the door, says, right, Madrid are offering us 50 million, then who do you see coming in to replace him? I know there's lots of rumours in the papers tonight. There's
some rumours about Spain.
So, the Aspas deal is a done deal, but he's just been relegated in Spain. And I haven't seen enough of him.
Who was that, sorry?
Aspas. He played for, I think, Celta Vigo. Scored 12 goals, I think.
That's a big name, then.
Yeah. It's that big that you haven't heard of him, mate.
The guy from Ukraine you're after as well.
He's a decent player. Attacking fielder. He's scored like 25 goals or something. And he's got a surname that's unpronounceable.
We won't try and pronounce his surname, but again, if anybody wants to send us a soundbite, then please do.
From the English game, man. Everyone will say Benteke, won't they? So, it's a bit of a step up from Villa.
Yeah, and there's always that worry with a player. They come in and maybe he likes being the big fish in a small pond at Villa.
Richie Lambert, come back to Liverpool. I don't know. He's from Liverpool, but I mean, come back to the club. But
he's an old man.
He's 31, but...
Do you think the way that Liverpool have backed Suarez with the race row, the stupid T-shirts, and I say that as a Liverpool fan, the stupid T-shirts, the biting, do you think he's showing true colours by trying to engineer a move away and just showing some, maybe his personality, the type of guy he is?
Also, sense of comments about that.
He's never going to wear the badge of pride, is he? He's there for the money and to orchestrate a big move.
Yeah, he hasn't seemed to learnt English yet, so he doesn't seem to.
If Suarez does go, I'd be quite happy to not see a Liverpool player get off with a teapot in his hand. You know, when he gets off the bus and he's drinking that tea. I'll be quite happy not to see that anymore when Sky Sports show the players getting off the bus. I'm quite openly set with that. I don't want him at the club anymore. He's a great player, but he brings too much bad press. Liverpool's a club that's built on quite a lot of morals, and they wouldn't normally be associated with racism and biting and stupid stuff.
If he didn't knock in 20 goals a season, you would have sold him.
Oh, definitely. If he was,
you would have sacked him.
You know,
how much damage do you think he's done to Liverpool's reputation?
I think he's done quite a bit. Certainly in the British public and with the press. I think that the way Dalglish defended him, Kenny's a club legend and I'm never going to knock him, but the way he defended him, that was probably a silly thing to do with the T-shirts. And I think that the press cottoned onto that and realised that he would get defended, you know, and it'd make the club look silly.
Do you think it's just a sort of an English thing that it's damaged, or do you think sort of a global brand? Because that's what all the clubs are aiming at, aren't they? Now it's not just to gain the fans in this country supporting. It's getting
the American support.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that Liverpool probably the biggest club now.
I think it's probably hurt the club a little bit. I don't think it's hurt him abroad as much as it has at home. But what's disappointing is it hasn't hurt Suarez's reputation. It's damaged the clubs, but it's not damaged his, because there are clubs lining up to sign him who are willing to still take on the, you know, all the rubbish that comes along with him.
He did it when he played for Ajax as well.
Yeah, he bit somebody on the shoulder, didn't he? But he bit somebody playing, I know, punched somebody in international friendly this year, didn't he?
He'll do whatever it takes to win a game, and he'll happily do things like that. Like he did the handball, didn't he?
That's right, in the World Cup, he handballed.
Yeah. And he did it against Macclesfield, yeah. Was it? He was in the FA Cup this year, he handballed it, keeper palmed it out, and, you know. I mean, one of the tweets we had in about Suarez was that it's from Paul Hinton, enforcer. On the forum, so massively ungrateful to LFC, who wrongly supported him, and hypocritical to blame the media for the poor image. Biting people does that. I think that hits the nail on the head for me.
Yeah. I think it'll be very difficult for Liverpool to replace him, because really of their standing in the game at the moment. They're not in Europe. There's quite a few sort of clubs above them in the league that are more viable options. If you've got a choice of going to Liverpool or
Spurs,
yes, you know,
for the same level of play,
an attractive team at the moment to go to.
Yeah,
so,
I completely agree.
Could you even get sort of a Christian Eriksen in, who's been linked at times?
He's been linked to the whole.
There's, I mean, there's been talk about him on Twitter, hasn't there? But he's apparently said that he wants Liverpool, but he's another midfielder. Another plays just behind the striker. I'd like to see us go for Benteke. Young lad, scores goals.
What about Darren Bent?
I think Rodgers is very much.
People look at me weird, but I think he's
a goal scorer, isn't he? He's a goal scorer. But I think Rodgers wants to sign younger players, and that's what you'll see.
We haven't got many players on the bench.
No. I think we'll see Adam Morgan break into the Liverpool team this year. Young lad.
The last year for him, he looks really good.
Yeah.
I think you need to be looking towards the future, whoever you get in, rather than sort of going back to somebody that you've let go already.
Yeah, I completely agree. The other thing, obviously, we've mentioned in the team of the year, what the other player, should I say, is Gareth Bale. Big talk of him moving to Real Madrid. The president has said he was born to play for Real Madrid. And that they're willing to spend £85 million on him, more than they spent on Ronaldo. Realistically, is he worth that, Chris?
Well, we spent £80 million on him. Ronaldo 5 years ago. So what would Ronaldo have been worth in today's?
Yeah, Ronaldo wasn't the finished article, really, was he at the time?
I think Bale can get better as well. I think he'll turn into a proper centre forward rather than playing behind.
So do you see Bale going there as the replacement for Higuain, maybe?
I can't say. I can't see him leaving at all. He's just had a baby. He seems to be happy.
Yeah. I think
why you want to move to Spain.
I think he has a good relationship with AVB as well. You could see that when he scored goals, so he always went to AVB, and they seem to have quite a close relationship as well. It wouldn't surprise me at some point next season to see Bale as captain, a bit like Liverpool did with Gerrard.
Yeah,
what do you reckon?
At the moment, I can't think of it. Sorry, I messed up.
Who's captain at the moment?
One of the Manchester clubs.
Man City, maybe? I think if he's going to end up anywhere, I think, you know, Bale's ambitious, and I think you can see that from the way he plays. He's probably the type of player Manchester United would love to have, because he's he is...
I'd love him to replace Gates.
Yeah, well, that's it. He is a replacement from Giggs. I mean, if you imagine Gareth Bale against Arsenal in the FA Cup all those years ago, when Giggs ran past three players and scored, I can't remember what season it was. I think it was the early 2000s.
It was the FA Cup semi-final week, going towards the treble.
You can imagine Bale doing that.
Yeah. And he idolises Giggs as well.
I'd love him to come back. If you put the team up with what United rumoured midfield would be, just based on newspaper rumours, on midfield next year it'll be Ronaldo on the right, Fabregas and Fellaini in the middle, and Bale on the left.
And Strootman as well.
Yeah.
I think Rich is probably drooling a bit over that attacking force at Old Trafford next year.
I think the Ronaldo rumours... a building, and I think there's quite a bit of stuff behind that as well.
It was rumoured 60. We're going to offer 65.
Would you sell him for 65?
Was that today or yesterday?
I saw that. I've seen a rumour that Manchester United are happy to stump up £65 million, but they want help from Nike in the deal.
Yeah.
And
but it's both Nike and Chevrolet who are coming in as the next shirt sponsors. They. Basically want Nike and Chevrolet to assist in the funding of it, and Ronaldo would be Chevrolet's sort of
poster boy.
Yeah, poster boy and global ambassador for the company. And I think they'd pay about half towards it then.
Sure.
But they've got Nike under a bit of pressure because they've only got 1 year left on that shirt deal.
Right.
And United are rumouring to be sort of offering their it out to both Adidas and the ones that
look over Warrior.
You can take our away kit if you want it. The old United grey kit wasn't as bad as our Space Invader kit, so...
That is possibly one of the worst away kits I've ever seen.
I buy the away kits normally because, you know, we won a season, so you can make a bit of a collection out of them, but I'm not buying this one.
Do you think the white one or the black one's worse?
I think the white one.
The shorts are the white ones with the tribal down the side.
Yeah.
Because I think that black one's even worse, where it's sort of like split into three. And you've got like black, white and grey, white and purple diamonds going on.
Yeah, yeah. I think we can agree nothing will ever beat the Hull City tiger print shirt though. That was one of them you would buy just to, you know, say I owned it, I think.
Would you have Carroll back?
I would have Carroll back. I think he had a plan B. I think Liverpool this year looked quite one-dimensional. If it didn't work through the middle, there was nobody who could really, you know, get up and head the ball, whereas Andy Carroll... come off the bench.
He might have stalled a bit of West Ham because he wants £100 a week, doesn't he?
Yeah. I'd have him back.
I think Carroll and Sturridge as a combo could work quite well.
Yeah. Sturridge making the runs in behind for the flick-ons. He's got the pace to do it as well, that's the thing.
Yeah. And it'd be sort of like a nice sort of blend there.
Yeah.
And obviously both English, which would be good to get a sort of a relationship going there.
I think the problem with Carroll is when he was at Liverpool, he put on a bit of weight and he did like the drink while he was at Liverpool. That's what the rumours were. And
should have brought Kevin Nolan as well.
Well, Kevin Nolan seems to keep him under control, doesn't he? I mean, he lived with Kevin Nolan when he was at Newcastle. So, but I'd have him back, definitely. I mean,
another option on the bench. That's what you need.
Yeah. The big news this week out of the Premier League was Mourinho coming back. I mean, obviously that's a huge move. It's exciting for the Premier League. The Premier League need characters. We lost one in Balotelli last year, and we've got another one back in Mourinho.
Got Mourinho and Holloway back. It's going to be a brilliant
reason. I love Ian Holloway.
I tell you what, I would like. You know, when you have the boxing podcast, you have the boxing press conferences. And at the minute, in boxing world, you've got Malinowski versus Adrian Broner. Both of them can talk a good game. Both of them are quite mouthy. I would like Mourinho and Holloway to square off and have a press conference like boxing, because I think it would be brilliant. Some of the things Holloway would come out with in one of them would just be... we'd be able to quote it every week.
Marmite, aren't they? And I think Holloway's a very Marmite character.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You either think he's completely crackers and quite funny, or you just turn Sky Sports News off whenever he comes on.
Yeah.
I mean, is like Mourinho...
dissect what he means when he talks.
I think it's how he does it as well with that sort of Bristol type accent as well, which just adds theme to it.
How big an impact do you see Mourinho having?
He could certainly easily make them champions of England again.
Because there's big rumours, isn't
there? I can see them challenging next season. I can see it be a three-way.
I mean, there are big rumours coming out of Chelsea that he's going to try and develop the youth side of it. Obviously, if he needs a player, I'm sure that Abramovich will open the chequebook, but he signed a four-year contract to try and develop the younger players.
I can't say that. Has he ever brought through youth?
Didn't he try Josh McCracken in the first team? I know he didn't work out, he got sold, but he gave him a go, didn't he? I think Bertrand, he gave a go as well.
I don't think he's one that's big for bringing through youth. I think he's more known for bringing in big names, isn't he?
Interesting, because I think with Chelsea now, you've got Lampard. Go on, mate.
He said he wants to stay there for a while. So.
I think with Chelsea,
he usually stays there for a year or two and then he gets bored and wants to move to a different club, but he said he wants to be there for a while. So.
I actually think he sees this as probably the biggest challenge of his career, because you know, you've got Lampard and Terry who are coming to the end of their careers, and when Benitez tried to drop him, the fans turned on him. The fans were against him anyway, but that just made it worse. And just how quickly will the fans turn on Mourinho if he drops those two and results don't go right? I think that'll be a big test. I actually don't think that Lampard will see that much playing time next year. I think they've given him an extra contract because he broke the goal record. But I think you've got Oscar, who's probably a good replacement for him.
Yeah, and they're meant to be bringing in the Leverkusen lad.
Sure.
Positions. You've got Lukaku coming back.
SEM's back next season as well.
Yeah, I know. He was he a Mourinho buy originally, I think, as well?
Yeah.
I mean, they kept Mikel in the squad last year and loaned out SCN. It didn't really make much sense.
They loaned him to Mourinho, so he must like it.
he'll probably be back, won't he, and playing for Mourinho.
Yeah. So, just before we finish tonight's podcast, I'm going to chuck a curveball your way. I know we've talked about what we were going to talk about tonight before we came on. But if you could sit down with any one footballer and say, look, you're not playing football anymore, go and get a job down Greg's, or go and work in McDonald's, who would it be?
Rooney. Though I'd worry about the stock that was in Greg's.
Okay, we're salting Ibrahimovic.
I'd
the most overrated thing in the world.
I'm an Ibrahimovic fan. I just think his record can't be argued with. The amount of titles he's won.
I think there was the talk as well that he didn't do it on the big stage, and then he went and scored four goals against Arsenal, didn't he? So that sort of put those ones to bed.
Well, then once he scored against England.
Like
yeah.
He scored a hat-trick against England.
I don't like him. He scored a hat trick against England. That's a great answer.
I think Kate wasn't it.
Yeah, that was. The less said about that, the better. I think we'll move on. I mean, mine would be Joey Barton, and I'd put him somewhere that he had no internet and no access to Twitter, and no access to any books that he could read. God. Hopefully we'll be able to get him on the podcast in the future, because I think it'd liven it up. It'd be a good interview. But he's one of them that he annoys me on Twitter. When he had a go at the QPR players after
the
Marseille
next season, because he was saying that he's going.
Well, he had a go at them, didn't he?
Marseille, Presence said no, he's not staying.
Well, when QPR got relegated last year, the first thing he put on Twitter is, I'm not going to swear because I wear swear words in it. Is Jose Baswinga, you complete muppet. Stop smiling and show some disappointment for the fans. And I thought, if you're really that bothered, you wouldn't have done what you did last year.
Yeah.
But,
I'm Barton on Twitter.
we'll tweet the podcast to him, Chris, if you can do that, and hopefully he'll have a listen to it, and he'll probably abuse me on Twitter. So,
I liked you when he had to go at Gary Lineker a few months ago.
I saw that, yeah, that was funny, yeah. Did he call him Big
Ears? Thiago, he called a transvestite.
Yeah, that's what he got a fine for, wasn't it? A ladyboy, wasn't it?
Thiago Silva, yeah, he said he's a fat ladyboy.
So he's a quality defender, though.
I think that's all we got time for tonight. Obviously, if you want to drop us an email about anything we spoke to you tonight, if you want to send us your team of the year, you can send it to football at v2journal.com, or you can tweet us at v2football. Hopefully, you'll follow us on Twitter. And this will be available on iTunes as well, so make sure you subscribe. But for now, it's good night for me, and it's good night from Chris and Rich.
Good night.